Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. Yes, 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 yes. I am Dean Weitzman, your host for the next 60 minutes right here on Court Radio, brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. We're here to answer your legal questions. We've got a great show planned for you. If you got questions, give us a call at 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in Philly. All right. Good morning, guys. Welcome back to the show. I have the usual crew, and in addition, we have Manny Manuel Glenn.
Dean, the legal machine. Welcome back.
God bless. And we've got our producer extraordinaire, Sarah O.
Good morning.
Sarah's going to be on the phones. If you've got questions, she's going to get you started in this process, 215-227-2727. Eric Tactics Jackson is on leave today. In his place is Dean Sampson. Good morning, Dean.
Oh, Dean. I'm sorry. Dean Sampson. I'll take that. That's a heck of a name, Dean Sampson.
All right. We've got Derek behind the keyboard. Good morning, Derek. Derek and I worked together on Court Radio more than 10 years ago. He kind of broke me into the business, him and E and a bunch of other folks. But he's here to assist us and make sure that we all stay on the air for the next 60 minutes. We have a special guest. We have the one and only Bob Coco. Good morning, Bob, and welcome back to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Bob is the credit lawyer. His practice focuses on consumer protection litigation, including predatory mortgage lending, fair debt collection, et cetera, et cetera. If somebody's committing fraud on you from a credit perspective, Bob will find a way to make them pay. And we're going to turn to Bob and his expertise in a minute, but Manuel, wow. What a difference a week can make.
You know, when you left here, yes. you allegedly to go on a vacation, Joe Biden was president.
Yes.
Then when you come back, Kamala Harris is now the candidate. Joe, did you have something? Is that where you really went? Were you amongst the big heads?
I grabbed him by the ear, and I twisted his ear until he started to listen.
I knew it was you.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, we don't know. I feel strongly that she has a good shot to win this election.
A lot of excitement right now.
Yeah, there is a tremendous amount of excitement.
Obama, like Obama vibes.
Maybe better, maybe greater than Obama. It's just like everybody has taken a breath for the first time in maybe 12 months.
Mm.
You know, there's an incredible amount of excitement. A lot of folks who were sitting on the sidelines are back in the pool and swimming hard. We've only got, you know,
less than 100 days.
100 days. I think 100 days as of tomorrow. And it feels like it's doable. Like perhaps this country will still be standing, you know, after the November election.
Had he gotten shot when you left? Yeah.
He had not.
He had not?
No.
Well, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
Boy.
A lot.
My God. Yeah. That little scratch on his ear and her and Biden and the Olympics. A lot going on, man.
There is. And I wonder if folks are, I wonder if our listeners are as excited as what's being portrayed in the media. I have seen both sides of it. I have friends on both sides of that divide. And those who are against, or let's say this, those who are in favor of a Trump presidency again, say she's got no chance. You're going to be sadly mistaken come November. And then you hear these groups of people who are on these calls you know, 40,000.
I was one of them.
100,000.
Yeah.
Money's pouring in. Volunteers are lining up.
48,000 in one night.
So I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that there's a lot at stake here, from women's reproductive rights to changes in the tax laws to, you know, the immigration laws. From our perspective, from a legal perspective, I think that the greatest chance of moving this country into areas that we have ignored for decades is to not only elect Kamala Harris, but to also elect a Democratic Senate and House of Representatives. If we can sweep, I mean, think about that. We were planning to lose. If we can sweep the elections in November, then it's all on our shoulders. And we can change the laws in ways that benefit average Americans in ways that has not happened in decades. And if we fail, then that responsibility is on our shoulders. You can, you, the folks who would like to see Trump take another term, you'll have the joy of being able to say, I told you so. But if we should be able to, you know, because nothing, you know, when Obama was in office, if you want to look about the greatest problem of the Obama administration is that they didn't take advantage of the first 2 years when they had a Democratic Congress and a Democratic White House. And he was kind of tiptoeing around trying to make everybody happy. And in that process, he wasted 2 years and we didn't get the changes that we could have gotten. He barely got through the health care. The Affordable Care Act, the health care changes, and wasn't able to accomplish anything else. Then the Republicans took control of the Senate and the House, and they said literally, we don't care how good an idea he has, we're not going to affect it.
We're going to fail.
We're going to make sure that he fails. That's our goal. Not bring the country up positive changes. We're going to make sure he fails. That mindset is bizarre, but that's where they were. And that's where they'll be again. If she's elected, they'll say the same things about her. We're going to make sure she fails. We want to win at all costs. We don't care if we harm the country in doing so.
Is that something? There's a word for that. Selfish?
I don't know. I have other words, but they're probably...
I know this.
Mr. Sampson will probably beep me out, so I'm not going to go there. But I'm going to say this. Let's get Democrats across the board. Let's see what we can do. If we can't accomplish what I think we can accomplish, shame on us, and let's move. You know, let's try a different tactic. Let's let the Republicans try their hand at it. But right now, we have a chance to change the world, and we have to stand shoulder to shoulder as Americans. We're all in this together. We all want to be successful in our country for one another, and we want to help the world become a better place. The only way to do that is to try something new. And right now, the way we've had things going, it hasn't worked. Having a divided Congress and a divided House or a divided executive branch, it just hasn't worked. So let's give all the power to the Democrats. Let's see what good ideas they're the only ones right now who have ideas.
This is true.
So, all right. That's enough of that.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go ahead. I'm standing down, sir. Well said.
I know you have a lot to say.
Well said.
But all right. Robert.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Cool name, Robert Coco.
So what's going on? Is there anything new in your area of the law? Is there what have you been seeing percolate up in your practice that's been something that's common that you're seeing again and again?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's anything necessarily new. I think that as years go by, people are a little bit better educated as to credit issues. So when I get on a call, it takes a little shorter time sometimes to get to where we need to go to give sound advice. But the issues persist because credit is still so important, right? Wages don't go up for decades now. So credit remains tremendously. That's the only political thing I'll say through the whole show. So it remains front and center for most people's lives to have their credit in good standing.
Speaking of which, there's a lot of companies out there that are claiming to repair one's credit. A, does it work, and how quickly, and how much could somebody expect their credit to move if they're focused on repairing it?
So it's very important. I'm glad you raised that question. It's very important for people to understand that most, if not all, of what these credit repair agencies do, you can do yourself with the proper amount of education, which is not complicated at all. Really, most of these credit repair agencies are just exploiting the fact that people lack this knowledge and charge them for something that is easily understood and easily accomplished on your own.
Well, let's tell the people what it is they need to do to repair their own credit. Somebody like Manuel.
Absolutely. The only name you can think of right now, Dean, yeah. Mm.
So the first thing, and it may seem very obvious, but you have to get a copy of your credit report. And there's a free way to get your report. There's a website called www.annualcreditreport.com. Annual Credit Report is all one word. It's a website that was set up between the FTC and the big three credit reporting agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Once a year, you can get a free credit report from each of them. So you should get one at a time, maybe at every four-month interval, to track what happens with your credit. So you start there. So you get a clear picture of what your credit looks like. You can go to Credit Karma, but Credit Karma is really just aggregating the information from those from the big three, and there's going to be more detail in one of the big three credit reports. So you want to look and see what's on there. You want to look to see first what's what they call obsolete, more than 7 years. If it's a bankruptcy, more than 10 years.
If something is obsolete, what do you do about that?
Sure. So then you do a credit dispute. And that's another very important thing for people to understand that is often done incorrectly for lack of knowledge. The only way to really effectively do a credit dispute that's going to lay the groundwork for a lawsuit if the credit reporting agencies and the creditor furnishers of information don't do what they should is to write a letter. And that's probably bad news to a lot of people because nobody likes to write letters or is used to writing letters. But the importance of it is to attach all the evidence to support your dispute, because a dispute's only as good as the documentary evidence you support. Because if you just send a letter, everybody could fix their credit overnight by just saying, hey, it's not mine, or fix it because I don't like it. Right? You have to attach information. And you have to describe that information in the letter that you're attaching and ask for what you want. It's really very simple. It's just one of those things, once again, that you have to know how to do right and send it certified mail so you can prove that they got it.
Now, if I recall correctly, I attempted, when I was in maybe my 20s and I was going to buy my first house and my credit was horrible. I was in the low 600s. And I went and did what you said. I kind of figured this out on my own at that time. I got my credit report. I saw the negative remarks within each of the reports, and I began one by one to tackle those. Mm-hmm. If I recall correctly, there was online forms that I was able to complete and send in, and it seemed to work. So I don't know that I sent things by actually snail mail. Is there online forms, and do you recommend people use them or not, and why?
Yes, there are, and it can accomplish what you want. The problem with them is, as I just alluded to, is that if it doesn't work, two things are problematic. Number one, you could probably be forced into arbitration, because like a lot of things you do online, there's an arbitration agreement. So private arbitration, I'm talking about, if people have ever been in court, not judicial arbitration where you sit with a panel of lawyers, you're going to go to a private forum where you have no right of appeal. Christine, you know this, but the audience may not. And so you may get a lawyer, you may get an ex-judge, but you may get, you know, a guy who's an accountant who's assigned to the case and they don't know what's going on. And number two, you don't get to confirm. If it doesn't work, you could get in this endless loop of, which I've seen, people just keep resubmitting them. And you can attach things, I believe, with all three, but you don't really have any way of confirming what was received. And so, as a result, you don't have the groundwork laid for a lawsuit. And that's ultimately what you want to do. The letter may solve the issue, and there, that may be the end of it, which often it is. If not, you want to have the ability to sue.
Sue who and for what?
Right. So you would be suing the credit reporting agencies and the furnisher of the information, which is either the debt collector or the actual creditor. And you're suing them for damages under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. There could be other laws involved, like the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which has a provision that says if you – because credit reporting is a means of collection, right? That's one of the debt collectors put the debts on your credit report because they want to nudge you towards payment. But if they do that falsely or deceptively in any way or put it on there after it's beyond 7 years from the date of default, you can sue them under the FDCPA too. But the larger point is you want to have the option to sue them. And it's contingent fee representation, like a personal injury lawsuit. You don't have to pay me to represent you.
Really?
Yes.
How do you what are the damages? Somebody puts something on my credit which is should not have gone on there. I had a valid defense to the claim for credit. They say I owe it, and they're wrong. I don't owe it. What are my damages in that instance?
Sure. So it's a statute that determines that, the Fair Credit Reporting Act. You have statutory damages of $1,000, and you have actual damages, any actual costs you have out of pocket, and you have punitive damages. Punitive damages are damages meant to punish a corporate actor, in this case, for conduct that violates the law. And whether you have that or not, and of course also you have a right to attorney's fees, because all consumer statutes have a right to attorney's fees. It's a great leveling factor that allows an average person to sue a big corporation who can afford attorney's fees all day long. And to the extent to which you have any of those damages obviously depends factually on what happened to you. So if you're denied credit as a result of the wrongful reporting of a credit item, that takes you to the next level in terms of damages.
So, folks, excuse me, if you have something on your credit report which you've asked to be removed and you believe that there's a valid defense for it to have been removed, and the credit reporting agent or the credit reporting agency as well as the people who are reporting it to the credit reporting agency refuse to do so, you have a claim. You have a claim that Bob Coco would pursue on a contingent fee basis, whereas you're not paying him until he has it successfully removed and they paid him damages for their failure to do that. 215-227-2727. Give us a call if you've got some similar stories or issues. Where could somebody expect their credit score to go when these negative issues are removed? How quickly or how much will it move?
That's a pretty broad spectrum. But obviously your goal is to make it go up, right? If you're doing it on your own, right, and if I have a conversation with someone, we look at the report, there's sometimes I'll just make suggestions for what they can do. And a couple of things you can do is if we're not dealing with obsolete items that have to be disputed or otherwise inaccurate, and you just want to clean up your credit, instead of going to a credit repair agency, try to settle out the small ones that you have first. If you're going to close credit lines that are new rather than old, if you have an old line of credit, you can always rehabilitate it, right? Credit's not static. If you start paying again or you settle up, it's going to help your score. And also, this is very, very, very important. If you're going to settle a debt for less than you owe, you always want to get in writing from the creditor or the debt collector that they will delete the item from your credit after you pay them the money. And it could just be an email, it could be a letter, it could be a fax. You want to get that in writing, because if you settle a debt for $100 for $50, that's still a black mark on your credit. It may stop the debt collection calls, but that's telling all your creditors, hey, I don't pay my debts. I pay my debts for 50% or 25%.
Right.
They don't want to hear that. Right. So it's important that you protect yourself in that way, because I get calls all the time and I feel so badly for these people. They're trying to do something, especially if it's a debt buyer who bought this debt for pennies on the dollar and has never done anything for you or any other consumer. There's no productive economic activity from them. And yet they continue to report it as a derogatory item.
And so what is it that that letter needs to say in order for it to not be a have a negative impact on you?
Right. So there's really it doesn't have to be eloquent. You're not writing a book, you know, writing a novel. You just have to say what's wrong, why it's wrong, and what you want to happen, right? I want it deleted. I want it fixed. It says I'm late. I wasn't late. Whatever the factual situation may be. And I often help people write these letters, even if there's no case. I still want to make sure the consumers protect themselves.
Speaking of which, how do people get in touch with you if they have these issues?
So my phone number is 215-351-0200. My website is www.phillyconsumerlaw.com.
How'd you get into this?
I was going to ask the same question. Yeah. Why this?
it's a good question, because it's an obscure area of law, unfortunately. That's why getting on a radio show like this is so important for me. In the early 2000s or maybe late 90s, I'm trying to remember now. It's been a long time. Community Legal Services in our city, which is a public entity that helps indigent people with legal help, was battling the predatory lending crisis.
And that was a crisis.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it was huge.
Devastated communities, especially African-American communities in the city, either through home improvement loans, and they would bring along these predatory home improvement contractors, rather, and bring these loans along. And so CLS, Community Legal Services, reached out to the private bar through seminars and said, hey, we need help litigating cases against these bad actors.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned over time from doing that and participating in it is that almost every consumer issue involves a credit aspect to it.
Right.
And even if you talk to someone who doesn't have a credit problem after you're done discussing it, there's probably something else going on too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you found this niche that no one else was really doing.
Not very many. And to this day, not many. And not just in Pennsylvania, but countrywide, it's an under-practiced area of law.
Is it a practice that could use more folks like you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you think it doesn't happen?
It's complicated.
That's why.
Yeah. And so you're reading a lot of statutes that are subject to a lot of regulatory interpretation. And it gets pretty dry.
I got you. Yeah.
Right,
It's long, tedious.
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 Yeah.
But is it fulfilling?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I hope it comes through as I'm speaking that I have passion for it.
Well, you got a big smile on you. He's had a smile on his face the whole time, folks. I think he loves his work.
Well, I'm sure you see folks go from being on their heels to owning homes and having established credit and realizing also a lot has to do with, you know, this. I'll tell you just from my own personal perspective. There was a time when I thought, if I pay you, that's good enough. Not when I pay you, but if I pay you. So, I never beat anybody. I might have paid them 60 or 90 or 120 days late, but you know what? It's okay. I mean, you understand that I have other things I need to do with my money this week. I had to buy some new clothes or whatever it was, and I will get around to it. You can rest assured you're going to get. But credit companies, they don't go with that. Like when you're you could be late one day beyond the limit, which whatever it is, 30, let's say it's 30 days. You could be 31 days late, and it's the same as if you're 131 days late. They report that, boom, and that mark drops your credit, whatever, 25, 30 points, 40 points.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
But it's very unforgiving.
Yeah, and you also raised a really good point, which is that A lot of times you're reported 30 days late when you're one day late or 5 days late, right?
Right.
30 days late means 30 days, but they don't always accurately
really?
Do. Yeah, it's all, a lot of this is done by software and dumps of information that are not very accurate. Yeah.
Let's talk to Lillian on line two. Lillian, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Lillian.
Morning.
Good morning, dear. How are you?
Hold on. Let me lower my radio.
Let's talk to Lillian on line two. Lillian, welcome to Court Radio. Good morning, Lillian.
Okay.
You
okay.
You want to shut your radio off and just talk to us on the phone?
Yes, I just did that.
Okay. So what question do you have for Bob Coco?
My question is, can they bill my insurance for a toe surgery that was not performed according to the description that I have?
You said bill.
Okay, so here's what happened, I guess. Let me rephrase that. You have proof that your doctor billed your insurance company for a surgery that was never performed. And are they trying to collect that from you, that bill? Or are you just...
No, they're not.
You just fight... You want to fight for your insurance company. You're saying your insurance company shouldn't be paying for something that wasn't done.
Correct. Especially if I'm still suffering from the same toe.
Gotcha.
Is it on your credit report, Lillian?
No, it's not on my credit report. Oh. My insurance took care of it. But I have like a little small co-payment that I have that they're telling me is due. And I decided to read the description, and then I Googled it, and I'm like, but wait, they didn't do that. And I have x-rays to prove that they did not do what they said they were charging my insurance for.
Yeah, and so... you want to fight the copayment, right? You don't want that to go onto your credit. If it should go onto your credit, then that's a call you could make to Bob.
Yes.
If it's not on your credit, then all you can do is send a letter to your insurance company, telling them that the procedure was not done and that the doctor fraudulently billed them for it. And you would send that to the insurance company. And I would agree with Bob in this instance. Do not do it by a phone call. Do it by a handwritten letter that you send certified to your insurance company, whoever that is, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, HMO, whatever. Whoever the insurance company is, you want to send them a copy of the bill and a letter saying that this procedure that they claim was done was not done. Now, you're not saying it was done improperly or was ineffective. You're saying it was not done.
That's one.
Okay. Well, ineffective is not that it wasn't. So a doctor, every procedure that they claim is going to cure you may not cure you. And so if it was done, but if it was not done, if it was done, but not done to your satisfaction or you didn't get the results you were hoping for, that's a whole different story. They get the bill for that.
Okay. Okay. This is the thing, right? Let's say like you need a prosthetic, right?
Yes.
Say a joint or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they build your company saying that the insurance saying that they did give you that joint or that prosthetic or whatever, but that's not the case. That never happened. They never give me that.
Again, if it's something that they billed for that was not done or not provided, then you can send that letter that I told you about. If, on the other hand, they said they did what they said they were going to do, but you didn't like the way it was done or how it was done or the results of it, then that's a different story. All right?
Right. Okay.
Lillian, thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Saturday. Folks, we're up against it. We have our sponsors we must give time to.
Anybody we know?
Give us 2 minutes. Give us 2 minutes, and we'll be right back with Bob Coco, and we'll take your calls. 215-227-2727.
It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
This program has been paid for by My Philly Lawyer.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB. We are talking to Bob Coco. Bob is the credit lawyer. If you've got a credit issue, if folks are dinging your credit, you don't believe that it is proper, Bob's exactly the lawyer you want to call. He will work for you on a contingent fee basis, just like an accident lawyer would. And he would get paid at the conclusion of the successful conclusion of the claim once your credit is squared up. 215-227-2727, the number for Court Radio, the number for My Philly Lawyer all week long. We're taking your calls, so if you've got questions or issues, jump on the line with us, 215-227-2727. So, I was wondering whether credit bureaus are allowed to take a very aggressive stance with you when – not credit bureaus, but credit collection agencies. I have had clients call me that they're being called day and night. They're called at their job. They're threatened. They're spoken to with obscene language.
And it's relentless.
Yeah. Is that – permitted?
It's not permitted. It's there's a law that governs that, which is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Mm. They can only call you between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. They can't use abusive language of any kind, even if that's a tone of voice that they use. Harassing calls, it's a good idea that you pick up at least one call from whoever it is that's calling you and tell them the situation, right? Even if you believe you owe the debt, but you can't pay it, tell them that. I can't pay it. Don't call me anymore. If they keep calling you, you can send a cease and desist letter. Again, doesn't have to be fancy. And say, you called me once. I can't pay the debt now. Don't call me. If you want to send me a letter, send me a letter. If they run afoul of either one of those, you can sue them.
Are those calls recorded, too, like so many are?
Almost all are.
They are recorded.
Yeah, because okay. With digital recording. Now, how long they keep them is another story. You can't get them before you file suit.
Hmm. You know, there's ways for folks, ordinary folks like us, to record the call on our side. You know, there's apps to do that.
Right.
If a credit reporting agency or a credit debt collection agency is calling you and speaking to you in abusive tones, maybe you should be recording the call, telling them, I'm going to record the call as well, because that would be great evidence for you if you needed to pursue that claim.
Absolutely. But because we have a wiretap statute in Pennsylvania, you have to do exactly what you said, Dean, which is to say, I'm recording you.
You got to let them know.
Yes.
They have to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that might end the calls by itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, once they know that this, you know, when I call this person, they're recording me as well, then they have to change their whole tone. And once you've told them in that recorded conversation, do not call me again.
Mm-hmm.
A subsequent call and proof of that call is all you'll need to have a valid, bona fide claim against them. You want to put them back on their heels? Follow my advice on that in that regard.
I think, Dean, I think you're right.
Yep.
Just like sometimes you get all these text messages from an entity that tells you, if you want this to stop, just press blah, blah, blah. Can you do that with these credit calls? Is that the way, the solution, what Dean is saying? Or can you just say to them, okay, listen, like you said, I can't pay.
Right.
You've been calling me. So this is it. Stop.
Yes, absolutely you can do that.
I want you to. And do they have to stop?
Well, yes.
They have to.
The problem is they get paid. The debt collectors are usually paid their salary is, I don't know why the word is eluding me.
Contingency? What?
Yeah, commission-based.
Commission-based, right.
I don't know.
I couldn't think of it either.
Right. So, you know, they're going to be aggressive.
They're going to be aggressive.
Yeah, they're going to be aggressive.
So they need you to reply and do what you do so that they can get paid.
Right.
Exactly. I wonder if there's also a compensation based upon the call itself. So, you know, every time they call, they get some small amount just for the phone call, whether they collect or not.
Just for reaching out, yeah.
Well, they definitely have quotas. They have to make sense.
That's what I was
going to
ask. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. We got callers lined up. Let's talk to one of them. Let's talk to Robin Derek on line 2. Hi, Robin. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, good. Thank you. You got a question for Bob Coco?
I sure do.
Lay it out for us. Go ahead.
Regarding my mother, she leased the car at a well-known car dealer. I don't want to give their name. But anyway, she leased the car. She has excellent credit. She got approved for the car. And maybe about 2 months later, she started receiving these denial letters in the mail. And she called me. She was worried about it. She said, you think they're going to take the car? Is the car denied? I said, no, these are other loans that were submitted by the car dealer. And she didn't even approve the loans to be done. In total, fast forward, she received about 7 denials. And like I said, she actually got the car lease. And what they did, they submitted these other loans for people using her name because they knew she had excellent credit. She's 84 years old, but she came in there. She looks like a rag doll, so they figured they could just probably just get over. And they literally tried to submit other loans using her name and a second name. And they were all denied because they knew, probably because the credit bureaus knew that she already got this car, and it sent a red flag. So what can we do to this car dealer because they submitted all these fraudulent loans in her name?
Well, okay. I'm not sure yet whether we're talking about fraud. So let's talk about generally what happens when you go to a car dealer and make an application for credit. It's the same thing for making an application for a loan. So if every car dealer has a banking license from the state of Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but they don't want to lend you money on credit and take the payments, they want to sell the contract to a bank, right? So, and they work with a lot of banks. So let's say your mom went in there that day. They shopped her contract to 10 banks, and one said yes, and the others didn't. The others denied it. Now, if it's all in the same day, it's not like 10 pulls of your credit, which lowers your credit score if there's 10. They do it in 10 consecutive days.
No, this was 2 months after she got the car.
Oh, 2 months after. That's a problem.
She got the car 2 months after she got the car, and these other loans were submitted in her name first with someone else's name she doesn't even know.
Oh, okay. So what we need to do, that doesn't sound right, right? So what we need to do is get a copy of the credit report, get it free credit report at annualcreditreport.com if she doesn't have one otherwise. And then we're going to look at the evidence of the credit pulls after the date she got them. And so what that's called, if it turns out, and I believe you 100%, but, you know, we just have to verify some things, that's called an impermissible pull of credit. You don't have to do a credit dispute in that situation. You could be right. You could be off to the races, and we can sue them out of the gate. And I've done it before with car dealers. Sometimes they have really lax security. in terms of who can access the systems, and there could be a variety of reasons, but it doesn't really matter. They would be liable for pulling her credit, because that's bad if you get...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes, we went up there, and they said, oh, it was accidentally done. You didn't accidentally do this 7 times to different car dealers using her name and someone else's name.
Well, it could be an accident, but doesn't mean they're not legally liable for it. So
yeah, sometimes even an accident, you know, is a basis for a claim.
Yeah.
And so whether it's intentional or not, it can't happen. It shouldn't happen. And they have responsibility if it does happen. So give us a call.
Yeah, please call me, Robin, about that.
Yes, I will call you at the same number.
You can. We'll make a referral over to Bob if you would like. Yeah, just for ease of sake, folks, if you want to reach Bob, just give us a call at 215-227-2727. And we will make transition to Bob's office seamless.
Okay, great. I will call you a little bit later. So call you after the program's over?
Yeah. Sure. Thank you, Robin. Have a great day.
Well, thank you. You as well.
You know, Robin brings up a related point, because I'm a buyer of cars, as everybody knows.
Yeah.
And sometimes I take a loan out on the car. Okay. And so the car dealership that I'm buying the car from will put the loan, will put the request out for a loan to 4 different companies on the same day. But I get 4 different every time they send an application. I get an inquiry, a hard inquiry. And you know, if there's anything wrong with my credit, it's that I have 30 inquiries a year. And that will reduce your credit score by itself, even though you've paid your debt, you're a good risk, you've got, you know, everything, you don't overuse your credit, but just the hard inquiries itself knocks your credit score down. Yes or no?
Yeah, it will affect your credit, right? But you know, these are all balancing factors, right? So if you love cars and you go into a car dealer and they run 10 times, the credit reporting agencies know that the ordinary process of buying a car means you may get 10 hits of one day. So it's treated as essentially one hit, right? So you don't want to get distracted by the fact that you have 30, because it's all a matter of context.
Okay.
And, you know, if you see your credit score going down and everything else is great, and you're just, maybe you're buying too many cars, but.
Yeah, my therapist said the same thing.
Maybe it's time to listen.
I'm not going to Cars Anonymous. I'm sorry.
Is there a thing? Wait a minute. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
An inquiry and a hard inquiry, are these two different things? Or
hard and soft, yeah. So there's
What's the distinction and why?
So there's soft inquiries for promotional purposes, if they want to send you solicitations for credit or for, you know, for various. They're treated differently. They understand that the marketplace involves people trying to make you corporations make you aware of their services, mm-hmm. their products, and they could do that. And the soft inquiries don't impact your credit. Hard inquiries is when you're actively seeking credit. Yeah. And when that happens, you have to make sure that those count in the way that they're supposed
to. For instance, let me give you a for instance. If you're on Credit Karma, and Credit Karma says, oh, we have 7 different credit card companies that would like to give you a credit card.
Yeah.
The credit card company that you go to then checks you out to see if you're
worthy
of their card. And they will do a soft inquiry. If they look at you and they do that soft inquiry and say, hey, yeah, we think we could give you a credit card, then they may do a hard inquiry where they actually dig down a little deeper. But that first look to pre-approve you,
right?
That's for free on your credit score.
Yeah.
But once they actually are prepared to hand you a card, that final inquiry is a real hard inquiry.
So technically, everyone gets a hard inquiry, correct?
If you're getting real credit, if they're going to issue a credit card or a car loan, yes.
Yes.
You're making an application.
All right. Got it.
Not just being concerned.
All right. Let's talk to Michelle on line 5. Hi, Michelle. This is probably a question for me. What's your question?
Yes. So I my daughter was in a car accident in my car. They totaled out the truck. This happened in 2018. I want to say maybe 3 years later, it wasn't on my credit report anymore. I had gap insurance. I got the car. I thought the gap insurance covered the loan to clear it because it was off my credit. And then come to find out last year, it's back on my credit. Somebody bought the credit, I guess. And they're coming after me, and now they're garnishing my check every week, every penny.
Wow. There's a lot of things that happen between the butter and the bread on that one. First of all, they had to have sued you because they can't garnish your wages until they have a judgment. So they had to sue you. You had to be served a lawsuit. The lawsuit then went into default. You didn't respond to it. They got a judgment. They executed on the judgment, and then they got to garnishment. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff there. They don't just get to garnish without going through each and every process that I just described. And each step, you had to have been notified by certified mail return receipt requested, or a sheriff had to come out and post your premises. There's a lot there. If that all didn't happen, I'd be surprised, but, you know, anything's possible. Does any of that sound familiar? Hello?
Did we lose her?
All right.
Hello?
Yep. Oh, yeah, there you are.
Michelle, are you in New Jersey or Pennsylvania?
I am in New Jersey.
Oh, that's why they garnish your wages, right? Because you can't do that in PA unless it's a government entity. Oh, okay.
So.
Yes, I'm in New Jersey. So I believe that they may have sent me something, but I thought it was paid off because it was gone. It wasn't on my credit anymore.
Yeah, but see, this is the important lesson for our listeners to learn from your experience is, never take anything for granted. You know, even if you assume you don't owe the debt, you can't just ignore those important letters because they're going to. You may be right. You may not owe that debt. But if you don't fight them, if you don't defend yourself legally in a courtroom, then they get to win by default.
Okay.
And that's what it sounds like.
Where can I go from this point?
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, well, it's possible you can petition to open the judgment. You have to have a meritorious defense, which it sounds like you do have. But and I don't know if the law in New Jersey is the same as Pennsylvania, but you also have to have an excusable reason for your delay. And you may be able to argue that. It's a little harder because the court doesn't want to see that they're ignored, right? Because, you know, when people just think, oh, I paid that, or this, they might not think that's good enough, you know, for waiting. How old is the judgment? Do you know?
I don't know how old the judgment is.
Oh, how long? Yeah, yeah.
The accident happened in 2018.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I guess that's something to talk about off the radio. Yeah. I'm happy to talk to you about it.
That's 6 years ago, and the longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes. And again, the lesson to be learned here is, act immediately. As soon as you're delivered papers, contact an attorney and find out your rights. And that's why I don't want to toot my own horn, but I have to, because who else will? Call 215-227-2727. I listen to people's problems all day. I don't get paid as soon as you give me a call and the clock begins to tick. That's not who we are at My Philly Lawyer. I'll direct you to people like Bob Coco or other folks that I know in our network who handle your problem, and we will get you answers. Answers are power. Knowledge is power. Do not wait 6 years like Michelle did, because then it becomes impossible for us to undo the damage that has occurred over time. Michelle, have a great Saturday. Thanks for calling Court Radio. 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. We'll be right back, folks, in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you.
You can't work. Medical bills are piling up and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am your host, Dean Weitzman, every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
There you go. We got the legal out of the way. We're joined in the studio by my friend Bob Coco, who is the credit lawyer. Bob fixes people's credit. Bob helps people sue the all-powerful credit debt collectors who maybe take a heavy hand with you. Maybe you don't really owe what they claim you owe, and they've dinged your credit report, and they refuse to remove it. And Bob can work miracles in those circumstances and do it without taking a nickel out of your pocket until he's successful.
I just say this real fast. We got folks listening online. Keenan Harmon, Keenan and Katrina, Shelly Tucker, all you, Somi Matthews, thanks for checking in with us this morning, guys. Appreciate you. And Adrian as well.
All right. Thank you, Manuel. Mm-hmm. We've got a caller on line three. Sylvester. Sylvester, welcome to Court Radio. You got a question for Bob Coco?
It's still a cool name.
Go ahead, Sylvester. Good morning. That was a little comment by Manuel.
I'm sorry.
He couldn't help himself.
Thank you. My question for you guys was, so, like, typically, after you email the credit union and the person that posted something on your credit, like for me, for example, I have like a collection on my on one of my accounts, right? And it's from a car. The car was totaled out in an accident. The insurance company paid for it. I had gap insurance, so I didn't have to come out. I had like a $500 deductible I had to pay. I paid the $500 deductible, but it's still like showed up on my credit as a collection account, and then it's like a $115 collection account from like an insurance company. But I had insurance in the time period that they're trying to tell me that I owe them some money for the insurance. I mean, it's $115. I mean, I could have just paid it to them, but I'm not paying you for insurance if I already got the car covered by another insurance company. So that posted to my credit too, but I emailed both of them probably like maybe 2 months ago, and they kind of like, I guess, brushed it off. They never responded. I know they were supposed to, someone told me that they were supposed to email me back or send me something in the mail responding to my email to them and the letter that I had sent them. But nothing ever happened. So I was typically trying to find out like, all right, so what would you do next? Like,
all right, stand by, Sylvester. Bob wants to answer, and we're running out of time.
Yeah, Sylvester. So what you're doing is something that commonly people do, which is they want to go to the source of the problem, thinking that's the most effective way to address it legally, but it's not. And I'm not being critical of you because a lot of people get that wrong. That's why what you have to do there is a credit dispute. Right? You have to get together all of your evidence. I'll help you write a letter. You're going to send that to the credit reporting agencies. The credit reporting agencies will communicate with the furnisher, right? That's what they have to do under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And if they don't do what your documentation says they should do, which is not to have them charge you any more money for the transaction, if that's what your proofs show, then you could bring the hammer down on them if they don't do it. You could sue them. We can sue them, right? But right now, you're in a process where if they don't do what's right, according to what the documents you have, you're just left frustrated. Right? So you got to be efficient in how you use your time and address that. You could pay it, of course, you know, if it's $100. But, you know, look, I agree with you. If you think that you have a basis to not pay it, then they shouldn't be able to force you to do so.
This is a theme that we started the hour with, and that is, does email work? And the answer is maybe most of the time, but it doesn't provide you with the documentation that he needs at this juncture. He sent an email. They failed to respond. They ignored him. He's left, you know, with the thing on his credit report and no response from the credit collection agency or anybody else. And until you send a letter by certified mail, like Bob's describing, you really can't force the issue.
That's right.
So, Sylvester, I hope I steered you in the right direction. And if you have questions, give us a call after the show, 215-227-2727. Bob will walk you through what needs to be done.
Happy to help.
Thanks, Sylvester. Have a great Saturday.
I got a question.
Yes.
And both for both of you, actually, in the legal profession, nowadays everything is digital. What we do here at the radio station when we connect with listeners, they got to sign digitally through an email. I'm finding more and more folks can't write. In your profession, both of you guys, what needs to be done is a lot of this digital. Is it still snail mail? Do people have to read over tons of stuff and still write their signature? Are briefs written out? Is that important anymore in terms of follow-up with what folks are dealing with when it comes to credit? Is that the best response, the old-fashioned way, snail mail, or electronically? Is it comparable to things getting done? Does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, the theme I'm trying to push here when it comes to credit repair is that you have to do things the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are losing those muscles, too,
absolutely.
Do it. Yeah.
And a lot of people just use their phone to communicate. That's a computer, but, you know, it's hard to type a letter on a phone. And
I can't tell you the last time I wrote a check.
Wrote
a check.
Really?
Yeah, everything is digital and automatic. Let me just say this. I know we have 1 minute left. I just want to give a very quick synopsis of gap insurance. So you're involved in an accident. You bought a car. You paid $50,000 for the car. You drove off the lot. You're involved in an accident a month later. The car is totaled. The people who totaled your car only owe you the fair market value of your car, which may be substantially less than you paid 1 month earlier. The difference between its fair market value and what you owe the bank on that car is what we call the gap on your value of the car. And if you want to protect yourself from that, you buy a separate policy called gap insurance. Gap insurance almost always, but not always, will pay the entire difference between what you owe the bank, maybe it's $50,000, and the value of the car, $40,000. But every policy you've got to read carefully, and it may still leave you a small balance that these folks are talking about. And so that small balance may be what's on their credit. But again, I'd have to see the policy to make sure that that's what's happening. We are all out of time. Folks, I'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place. Thank you for being a part of the show today, Bob.
Thank you, Dean.